The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
I sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger right now from the, what was it, the Emmys? Son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. That son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Oh, there he is.
There he is, yeah.
Fucking Danny DeVito is a real beak breaker right there.
So that's going to be us next time James actually shows up for an episode right there.
Oh! Fuck. Shot fired.
Well, you know what? I'm recording now. So with that, how about we fucking go, huh? Because it's getting late.
Yep.
Oh, hello and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in, of course, the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of gaming podcasts out there, and there are a lot of NPC podcasts out there, and I'm sure if they made it 1 year, they would remember their anniversary, because we did not. But we're here to celebrate now, minus one of the OG hosts, just for a day. But still, happy 1 year. We did it more than a year, actually, now, by a couple weeks. But hey,
one year
on the air. We finally got the format down, you know? I think it's working. I think we're doing A-OK, huh?
Yeah. I agree. You're the boss here, man. I just show up.
That's right. He does a good job showing up. At least you showed up today. So, with that, who you want to kick off with? Quick bits, or should I do it?
Well, yeah, I'm Alex Cordova. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
No James today.
I'm sorry, James today. That's right.
Yeah, it's a little late, but mm-hmm. It's fine. Mm-hmm. He's overworked, underpaid. I get it.
Yeah. I forgot his charger. So, yeah. Forgot all kinds of shit. It's okay.
Well, I was talking about you too.
Oh, yeah.
You fucked up that intro, but it's fine. We're here.
Okay. Let's it's go. Fine. We made it here. We got this down.
I'll take the quick bits. I'll do like half and then we'll talk about it. One of the big reveals that happened like literally the day after last episode was Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra was announced. And that is the game coming from Amy Hennig, whose work includes Legacy of Kain series, Jak and Daxter, and she was, of course, responsible as a creative director for the Uncharted trilogy before it went to Neil Druckmann, which is a whole nother topic there. But it was a CGI trailer. I mean, we'll talk about it a little
while. Okay, all right.
Larian Studios, who is the creator of the wildly successful Baldur's Gate 3, they are not planning expansions or DLC for Baldur's Gate 3 or the rumored Baldur's Gate 4. They actually plan to move away from Dungeons & Dragons entirely and do something new for their next game after 4, heavily rumored.
Okay.
And then finally, actually, I'll do two more here.
Yeah, so we got more.
Yeah, production of GTA 6 reportedly is falling behind schedule now with a fall 2025 release date looking more realistic, but delaying it to 2026 is also on the table. A lot of money there.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I don't know about you guys, but apparently there was a zombie survival video game called Undawn, and it starred Will Smith, which has apparently bombed. I don't know about you, but I never heard of this in my entire gaming life.
I've never heard about it besides this log line right here, and it sounds dumb. Undawn is a stupid name. I don't know what I'm getting when I hear Undawn.
It sounds like a Twilight type
exactly
of game.
What it was, yes, it sounds like some Twilight shit. No, I'm not with that.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't look at many videos or anything, but I saw like the Steam page for it, and it just has Will Smith on it, and it looks like somewhat of a ripoff of I Am Legend, and I'm like, yeah, I can see why that game just bombed apparently, but you should see the comments on like the threads and shit. People are like, what the fuck, when did this game come out? Yeah, like they were the all push? Saying the same shit. Yeah,
dude, I Am Yo. Shit, that's what this fucking game is. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, fucking Will Smith got slapped by this, apparently, the video game world, just like he got slapped or just like he slapped Chris Rock.
He got it back. No, they paid it forward. That's good, because you don't want to fuck with gamers. Like, hold on, I gotta look this up now. Undone. Yeah, Will Smith. Yeah. I don't know about this. Man,
see if there's a trailer or something. I'll look that up too real quick. Let me see.
YouTube. Look at the... Yeah, there's Undawn. A trailer. 2023.
Oh, wow. Undawn. Oh, shit.
Okay. It looks a lot like I Am Legend. Like, just the...
Oh, it's a Chinese survival game. Wow. Oh, so it was probably like a Chinese type of, like, trying to take the capital, like, to capitalize on Will Smith's or something, dude. I don't know, but...
Yeah, it's just a CG I don't care about this. I'm done.
Yeah anyway, it's pretty bad. Yeah, that looks pretty bad. I'm not going to lie.
yeah. More interesting news, huh? Rise of Hydra, huh? So that's a hero game?
It's like Captain America versus Black Panther, but it's the OG Black Panther, not T'Challa. It's his grandfather, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Taking place in World War II. It looks cool. I would have liked actual gameplay, but you know, they do this whole cinematic thing first to announce it.
It's a hero shooter, right? Like, it's Overwatch shit.
No. That's a little later. You're getting ahead of ourselves here, Foyne. Ahead of ourselves. Oh. This is like a... It looks like it's gonna be like in the vein of Uncharted or something, because this girl, Amy Hennig, was like, she was the real drive behind some big name games here, but like Jack and Daxter 3.
Different game. Okay, that's interesting. Huh. Yeah,
and then the Legacy of Kain series, she was the director for those as well. And so this is her first big game since, I believe, Uncharted 3.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Marvel's kind of dipping their toes more into the gaming world now with Spider-Man and Wolverine coming up and all that. So this looks promising. Like, I hope the gameplay, when they actually show it, like, matches the cinematic, you know, angle they were going for in the trailer.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I forgot what Legacy of Kain was, so I looked it up. My first, I thought it was Mark of Kree, but no, it's a whole different fucking game, which I remember, like, Game Informer reviews being, like, mid.
Yeah, well, you're lucky that James isn't here. You'll probably be yelling at you right now, but no, Legacy of Kain is, like, it's old school, you know, PlayStation 1 stuff, but still, like, they were good. Okay. They were very, some of them were ahead of their times, the gameplay, the combat.
That could be it. I think Game Informer was just like, what is this new shit? Nah. I don't like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, she was really, really heavily involved in Uncharted, the OG trilogy. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm interested in it just because of her, to be honest. And if they're going to do like a single player, like Captain America, Black Panther game, like, sign me up for that. Because as we've talked about, like, ad nauseum these past couple episodes, is just... Suicide Squad, no, yeah. We don't want that. Mm-mm. We don't want that. We want the superhero games should be single player focused. I mean, it's very rare that you can do like a multiplayer superhero game unless it's like Marvel Ultimate Alliance or something like that. Don't get me wrong.
But those are like, that's a kind of, they don't make those kind of games anymore though, you know?
Yeah.
Like that hasn't been proven again in a long time.
Yeah. Well, they're stuck on the Switch, but let's not go.
Oh,
let's
yeah,
not go
they
there.
Put Part 3 on the Switch. That's right. Oh, what a interesting move. Okay, very interesting move. Yeah. All right. And then Baldur's Gate 3. I mean, it's such a resounding success for them to kind of. I mean, that shows their auteurs, though. They're like, no, we're gonna do what we want. So we'll give you a real good one, and then we're gonna try to be creative to keep the juices going. I think that's what the move feels like with Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. That I haven't played that game. You know. James is the Baldur's Gate expert, but from what I've seen and read about it, it's very, you know, like, it doesn't seem like the kind of game that would need DLC, but if there were to do it, like, I feel like they would go big with it, but, you know, but it looks like they're just not going to do it and just say, fuck it, we're going to make another, you know, number 4, and then we'll move on to something else, which is rare. In today's gaming world.
No, definitely rare. I mean, look how... Yeah, usually the teams kind of... Even there's a couple teams that stick on different games and just go out in off years, you know? I feel like we're going to be a while, though, for this new game. I feel like Baldur's Gate 4 is going to take a lot of energy and a lot of focus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think, like, off the top of my head, I want to say Baldur's Gate 2 maybe was on the PlayStation 2 era, and then 3 came out, what, on the PS5? So that's... It's like a 3-gen cycle there.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. I would ask James to look it up if he was here, but you know, we'll wait. Well, he can touch on that later when he comes back.
I know you can get Baldur's Gate 2 on the eShop, so you know, at least it can run on that old ass hardware. I know that. Yeah, and I heard with GTA 6, like, I guess, delays on the table, but some other figure came out and says, like, listen, gaming is like this all the time. Like, it's always at risk of falling back. GTA is just like any other game. And I guess the big issue is like the work from home policies. Now they're really trying to get people into the office because it's just too much to have the team so segmented. But
for Rockstar, what?
Yeah, I guess they were being nice to people, letting them work from home. But they're like, "Hey, baby, we're firing motherfuckers, so you better get your asses over here." It seems like is the case.
Yeah, like a little tidbit, a little sidetrack on that is like, I don't know if it's because they're gonna make that game as big as the trailer looks or something, but you know, everyone's saying that it won't even run at 60 on normal PlayStation 5s and Xbox Series X's and all that shit. So
I don't think it is. Yeah, I don't think it is.
I don't know. I'm not buying a new fucking console for a GTA 6, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'll get a PS5 Pro at some point just to future-proof myself.
Yeah,
but that's way down the line because, I'd be spending money. Too much. All right. It sucks being social, yeah.
Then to wrap up the quick bits for this episode, we got now, spoiler alert.
My bad.
Marvel also is getting into the multiplayer gaming arena with a new Overwatch-inspired 6v6 hero shooter called Marvel Rivals. So, that's what you jumped the gun on there. And then James wanted this one because he loves the shit on Starfield, and too bad he's not here to really...
I know, to really lay it in because, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But No Man's Sky continues to shit on Starfield. They just released a free update adding ship customization, space stations overhaul, and a guild system, all for free, which I'm sure Starfield has not even one of those things.
Customization?
Yeah, my bad. I'll take that back.
I don't think the other stuff, though.
No. And then finally, a pretty big one that kind of, I don't know, I'm seeing mixed reviews on it or mixed input from people on the internet, but Borderlands 4 is officially in active development. However, Take-Two made sure to lay off a bunch of employees immediately after taking over the studio.
I love that. Don't you love it? They're like, hey, you know what? We already have a marketing guy, actually. So you guys can go back to the unemployment line, baby. Take-Two. That's what I'm saying. Like, with the whole Rockstar thing happening up there, too. Because Take-Two's the publisher at the end of the day, or no, if I remember correctly?
Take-Two's the publisher. Gearbox is the developer.
Yeah, fuck. At least Gearbox is saved, all right? I don't think Embracer Group was going to let them actually get anything done on Borderlands 4 after a while. Like, they're suffering too much under there. So they got to lay off some publishing and marketing people. Go for it. Whatever.
Yeah, I just hope it's not, like, tied into the movie, because the movie, like we talked about last episode or episode before, does not... It's missing something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like Borderlands. I don't know if it's just miscasting or whatever.
It feels like the David Ayer Suicide Squad.
Oh,
that's what it feels like to me. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, damn. I don't know.
Oof.
I want to be proven wrong, but yeah, there's just something, like you said, there's something off. But hey, you know what? With 4, I still haven't played 3 though. 3 was good.
3, I like 3. The movement of 3 was like, if they were ever going to do a remake of 2, they should add the movement and controls of 3. Okay. Because 3 was a lot more modern. Like, you had the whole, like, sprinting and sliding, and the guns felt... Well, this is because I was playing on PS5, but the guns felt like, you know, the haptic triggers. It felt cooler to play. Okay. Each gun had a little bit of a different haptic sense to it. And, I mean, the story wasn't as good as 2. The villains were kind of whatever, but it was still Borderlands. It was fun. There was a lot of unique... And I'm sorry, the heroes, you know, like, the powers and shit were unique. Like, nothing the previous Borderlands really had.
How would you say it compares to the pre-sequel? That's the only other one I haven't played, but I have that game.
Well, I've messed around on the pre-sequel. I haven't got too deep into it because I did buy it on the Switch, but then, like, literally a couple months later, I got it on my Steam Deck, and I felt like I wanted to play it there because it's, like, a full 60 and all that stuff. So I wanted, like, you know, get back into it. I just haven't had time to really, like, deep dive into it. But just like based on the first 30 minutes to an hour I've played of it, like, pre-sequel feels more like 2 than anything. I mean, there's a little bit of like a whole gravity, like jumping super high. That's the gimmick on the moons and shit.
Yes. I remember messing around with that and it seemed interesting, but also like not enough to really invest me in the game. Cause 2's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. 3's just like, to me, I played a lot of 3 with you know, Nate and even James, I played when we got the PS5s together for a while. Actually, I was playing on PS5. He was playing on 4. But that one's just like, it's weird because it felt modern. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, you know, the gunplay felt a lot smoother and quicker. But it was just a story that wasn't, it didn't feel like up to par with 2. But then again, I jumped right into 3 after 2, so maybe that might have, you know, had something to do with it. But yeah, I've been wanting to get to dive back into that and pre-sequel to see what
3's on the Switch. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how well it's gonna play though. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good it would play on the Switch because the PS5 was like very like woof. Yeah. PS4 load times were long.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So. And I don't play games on my TV anymore, though. I don't know, whatever. I'm playing other games anyways. We'll get to that coming out. Yeah. good for Marvel with their hero shooter, too. Let's see. I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
Never been my genre, though.
Yeah, I mean, the hero shooters, MOBA shit's not my genre either, but it just looks cool. Like, I'll see, you know, it's... They're just throwing... It feels like they're throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks in a way sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who the developer is of that one, to be honest. I didn't look it up, but...
No, it seems like a real Disney move right there to just be like, hey, you guys like this shit, right? And then, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, if it's free to play, I might check it out, but yeah, I'm not paying money for it.
No, I ain't paying money for half these fucking quick bits, to be honest with you. Like, I'm just not in it. GTA 6, Borderlands 4, if it's good. Already got No Man's Sky.
Oh, you did get it?
Yeah, sure. I got it. I already have that game, but I don't have the time to really play it. Like
get balls deep in it, huh?
I don't know. Okay, I will talk about when we talk about the games that I'm playing, but I feel like my gaming experience, like desires are shifting as I get older. So, definitely shifting. But that game, too big. Yeah. Much like I think this game, which we're going to talk about in our news section right now.
Yep.
Yeah, because we got Dragon Dogma 2 reviews and controversy. Yep. So, Capcom's latest open-world game has come under fire due to some classic Capcom-y shenanigans, such as the introduction of DLC immediately upon release, as well as random glitches and frame drops. They intend to patch Dragon's Dogma to rectify these issues, but many are saying since the frame rate is tied to the CPU, instead of the GPU, it's a much more difficult fix than other games of its type. Discuss. Well... Yeah, it seems like a hodgepodge of code to get this game even working as it is, from what I've heard.
Didn't you play the first one? Dark Horizon, like the whatever?
Oh, I have it on the Switch. It's great.
Yeah. So, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've seen people, like, really hype this game up, even saying that it's better than Elden Ring in a way. And I've just seen the gameplay and I get it, but at the same time, I'm just like... I don't know how that can be better than Elden Ring.
I don't think it can, to be honest with you. I've played both, you know. I've played the first one and, you know, earlier Souls games, obviously. They're just drastically different. They're just, I don't know. The combat's really cool in the first one. Like, it's really, really cool, but it is very ambiguous for an open world game. And I hear 2 is exactly the same fucking way.
Yeah. The controversy side of this, too, in regards to the DLC, some people are like, really disgusted by Capcom, but like if you look at Capcom's other games, mm-hmm. they've been doing this all the way back since like Devil May Cry 5. Like, you know, they have a shop where you can, if you want, you don't have to, but if you want, you can buy, like, you know, in Devil May Cry 5, it was like the currency, the red orbs or the souls to revive yourselves and all this shit, right? And they're not crazy expensive, but it's still like it's a way, I feel like, for people who don't have a lot of time to not be at a disadvantage, so they can just like kind of like, oh, I'm gonna drop $20 and have a whole bunch of souls so that I don't have to keep like restarting a level or something, right?
Yeah,
but I guess this Dragon Dogma shit. Well, I guess this Dragon Dogma 2 though has it to where it's like even they make you pay for the fast travel system, and I guess
because the fast travel system is very like rudimentary.
Yeah, that's what that's what I heard in number one. It was very, like, non-existent almost or mm-hmm. something, right?
Yeah, you need these little crystal thingies and all this shit. Like, it's a weird system. Yeah, but it forces you to, like, explore the world as, like, you know, as a crew and, like, be in danger all the time. It's weird.
Okay, so, yeah, I've just seen a lot of people talk about that. And I personally have not played this game because, you know, I heard you don't have to play number one to understand it, but still, like, a part of me is just like, there's too many games to play still.
There's too many games, dude. So. I want to play it, but at the end of the day, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to dedicate time to this game. It's
just not exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a big... Yeah, I think it launched literally maybe a day or two after our last episode. So it's kind of like, you know, the gaming world's talking about it.
Yes, yes. But, hey, I mean, what's the gaming world? Both nothing but a bunch of people looking for something to bitch about, you know? Which is what we do every day, every time we record. But this one seems pretty stupid. Like, it's just, it seems like Capcom did not, they kind of get, like, spaghettied the code for this one a little bit. And I think it's going to make it harder for them to get on people's good graces unless they really fix it. But the engine itself is stretched. It's not designed for this type of game.
Is it? Is it the RE engine or no?
It is? The RE engine. Yeah, we're going to talk about that coming up, actually.
Okay. But, yeah. Because I was going to say, that's weird because, like, Monster Hunter World, from what I... You know, consoles, Monster Hunter World and Rise play fine. But I hear the PC ports... Mm-hmm. aren't up to par with them. Like, there's really, it's really demanding,
yeah, which
is weird to me because that engine looks amazing, man. Like,
I know,
like, at least on consoles, I should say.
I think it's more designed for smaller, more focused areas and like all that. And I think Dragon's Dogma is just too big and too, like, too many polygons for what they're trying to do, which is gonna again kick them in the ass for the thing we're talking about in the rumor mill. But you want to talk about something more, more bad news?
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep the bad news coming here.
Mm-hmm. We got good news coming up afterwards. Don't worry, guys. Just one last one.
Yeah, the last one is the death of the indie scene? Question mark. So, Game Pass and Epic Game Stores may no longer be a safe haven for indie devs, as most apparently the exclusivity deals mm-hmm. for each platform are being reduced tremendously. This follows reports of mass layoffs and publishers canceling numerous games as spending within the industry is being reduced across the board. Is the golden era of indies finally over? No, it's not, but I get what you're saying here, Fwen.
Yeah. I don't think it is, but also I think it's definitely not going to be to the same degree that we're used to. I think indies are just going to get more expensive to make. Like, we're going to get some stuff that's real mid-budget instead of small budget, and if it fails, those guys are out. They're just done. Like, there's no coming back, you know? They're going to be riskier.
I like, the game that comes to mind, or the most famous indie game that's come to mind in the last couple years is that Dave the Diver.
Yeah.
But I remember at the Gaming Awards, people got really offended that it was called an indie game because it I guess it wasn't, but to me it looked like an indie game.
Yeah, but it's like an indie style game for sure.
But it was made by, I guess, a pretty big studio or something. I don't know. I haven't played it, but I've just heard it was like a lot. It was a big controversy because people were like, "That, why is that called an indie game when it was made by so-and-so studio?"
I remember
or
that's true. It's like a fake indie.
Oh, okay. It was one of those, like, hey, we're a really big studio, but we're going to make it look independent type of shit.
It feels like it, yeah. And, like, the budget is clearly more resources than, you know, what regular indie-ass games get. Like, they're made with, like, they get real creative with how they have to get stuff done. But I also heard it's a good game, so, you know, we can't really fault it for that. I don't know.
I feel like the golden age of the indies was the Xbox Live Arcade, like, era.
I don't know.
Not even the PS4, Xbox One era. I'm talking like the 360, Xbox Live Arcade. Because I remember that is when I got into indies with like Castle Crashers, Braid, fucking Limbo, that shit, dude.
Yeah. Well, see, I think indies have had a good evolution, though. Like, honestly, I do believe the Game Pass and Epic Game Store made a lot of indies more readily available because I enjoyed the Xbox Arcade indies. Don't get me wrong. They were fantastic. Especially Limbo. It's like brilliant. But I really got into indies when they became, I can test them on Game Pass. And then I'd be like, oh, I can buy it on a Switch and actually get to play how I normally play games. And plus we've had some really brilliant ones like Carry On, Devolver Digital did some good stuff. So I think just the indie delivery systems are going to change and they're really going to have to get people to purchase their games instead of relying on these services to, you know, put them in, make them fans because we're already paying for the option to just have the game available, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. I feel like I'm trying to think too, and like I really feel like I really started messing around with indies after the Xbox Live Arcade era when they started hitting like the you know, the PlayStation Plus free games or
yes,
something.
Yes.
You know, like, mm-hmm. so, like, when they gave them away for free, I, like, you know, I would test them out and I would be like, oh, fuck yeah, this game's cool. Let me buy it. And, mm-hmm. like, off Precisely. The top of my head, yeah, I can name fucking Wakamele, which was, what was that? Drinkbox Studios, I think.
That's so a good fucking game.
Yeah.
Oh, the Wakamele I love that one.
Series and Hotline Miami. Those yeah. two games I would never have known about. Unless it was for that type of delivery system mm-hmm. where they let you, you know, have it for free, quote unquote. But then, you know, once it's out of the store or once it's out of your subscription, you don't have access to it anymore, right? So I would literally buy those games again. I know for a fact I've bought Wakamele like 3 times already.
Bro, I think I'm going to buy... I was waiting for part 2 to go on sale, actually, because I already have one. One is fucking awesome. I heard 2 is oh, really yeah. good.
Oh, yeah. I bought both of them on the Switch. Like, they always have them on sale.
Yeah, for like $3. I'm looking at my Switch right yep. now. I'm like, I can see what little games are on there. I'll let you know what fucking sold me.
yeah. So even like, you know, those type of games where they take a big name game like Blasphemous, for example, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's
It's a
one
Dark
too.
Souls 2D, but it's like, would you ever try that game unless it was kind of like the buzz around it was Dark Souls as 2D? Like, no.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to get nowadays to get the word of mouth going about indie games, I feel like. So, yeah, they have a challenge
they do.
Ahead of them.
The safety net is gone. It's just yeah. gone. Sorry, guys. I mean, I'm still going to keep an eye out for good ones, obviously. But my backlog, you know, these Game Pass deals and shit made my backlog really increase. So yep, I got to get to these first. Oy, oy, oy. it's okay, though. We got... very more Capcom focused news coming in our leaky rumor mill, and this is a breaking news bit that I am psyched about. This is really fucking exciting. So, mm-hmm. the next Resident Evil, has it been revealed? The answer is yes. a remake of Resident Evil 1? Question mark? Huh? Well, a banner ripped from a cloud server for Capcom has revealed that yes, Resident Evil 1 will indeed receive another remake. It's set. With it even leaked the release date. It's going to drop in January of 2025. That's right. No gameplay just yet, but expect Capcom to reveal more as 2024 rolls along. Discuss. Now, yeah, the Tyrant was all up on that art. The fucking font was exactly as the most recent remakes, and it officially came from a Capcom server that they took it off as soon as they fucking could, but it's the internet. You can't do that shit. We already got it. What do you think, Cordova?
I'm really torn because don't get me wrong, that remake of RE1 from the GameCube era, like, it still holds up today. Yeah. I don't get me wrong, it's not like the best example of gameplay nowadays, but it still
true
holds
classic.
Up.
It's a true classic.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it on the Horrible People's podcast numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like that game is just very, like, classic, like you said, right? The OG one from the PS1 is a classic, and the remake is a classic. Mm-hmm. So it's like doing a remake, like, they have to either do it in the style of RE4 or yeah. in the style of RE7. That's how I feel.
Oh, I didn't even think of an RE7 take yeah. on it.
They might. I feel like that might be the way that they're going.
That
I don't
might
think
be
they're
a good direction.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Or an RE4 style, you know, behind the back type of third person shooter.
Yeah, I was thinking,
you know?
RE2, like the remake. Yeah. Yeah. Like have the zombies be really fucking hard to kill.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, either or, I'm there for. So.
Yeah, yeah, because to me, RE4 style remake indicates more action, and I don't think RE1's an action-y kind of game. I think if you make these zombies really, really scary and, like, really amp the claustrophobia, but that's kind of where the RE7 style would actually be really, like, it has the opportunity to make it very scary. Like, very scary if they go that route.
Wasn't the... What the fuck was that 3DS one called? Was that first person or no?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It wasn't.
No, it had first person segments.
So oh, okay. It had segments.
Little segments
it wasn't...
that they would actually switch the gameplay up for you, and you'd be in first person, and use the stylus and all that bullshit. It was kind of dumb, but it was apparently
it's kind
of
dumb.
Yeah, it was apparently a very good version of the game. Like, it's like one of the most like high res, like optimized version of like official releases of the OG game itself. But I don't know. I didn't even think about a first person RE7 style. To me, that would be cool. because I know the original game, and we talked about this in the Horror People's podcast, was intended to be in first person also. So, I don't know.
The OG one? Oh, yeah, yeah.
It had a brief section where it was going to be first person. It was too intensive for it, and they figured it out. I don't know.
Excuse me. Sorry, I was drinking. Yeah, I'm really flip the coin, man. Like I'm here for either or. Like,
yeah, I'm with you.
If they want to go first, I'm there. If they want to do fucking behind the back RE2 style, mm-hmm. I'm there. If they want to like do the whole expanding on it, like they did in RE2 and 4 remakes,
yeah, that's what I'm talking
fucking
about.
There. Yeah, I'm just there because that game RE1, like woof.
And we get new Chris too. We get new Chris.
Oh, a little buff ass Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, yeah. I doubt it. He's still going to be a little giddy two shoes in that one.
He's going to be his, what do you call his fucking village Chris. That's what we're going to get. But he's just a little younger. All right, cool. Well, I mean, while we're at it, you know, village is obviously going to be followed by this next one. So what else we got?
So, you know, it's just, I don't know what's going on in the air here, but we got more Resident Evil rumors. So the next Resident Evil, RE9, is apparently going to go open world.
Hey.
So, with Dragon's Dogma 2 using the RE engine, Capcom is now trying to utilize it for a different take on their flagship franchise. Resident Evil is apparently going open world, with its 9th installment being the first attempt for the survival horror franchise. It is set to release sometime after this, allegedly, RE1 remake. So, what, fucking... some later 2025?
I think 2026 or 2027, man.
Okay.
I don't know.
I get it, but this is a little bit tricky, dude. This is a little bit tricky. And this is why I really wish James is here, because, you know, he's been really hyped for the RE9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trilogy of RE7, 8, and 9. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like Village... I liked Village, like... the whole linear / open, well, not open world, but what do they call
it's
it?
It's like a Metroidvania almost. Like,
yeah, right? Like where it's linear, but it's kind of gives you the illusion of like, oh, you're gonna go through this hub area a couple times.
It's like open area.
Yeah.
I think it was the perfect balance, to be honest with you.
Yep, I agree. More than 7. I mean, 7 was kind of like a linear path in regards to. You just go through the area. Yeah, you do a little bit of backtracking here and there, but 8 was when you had to, like, straight up... there was a hub area that you kind of went back to every time you finished something, you know?
Yeah, I think 7 had, like, a lot of little RE1-style, like, level design, just in different sections, versus 8 was just like, no, you're going to get, like, a world. And that's pretty... it was very, very cool. I mean, this whole, like... the openness, though, I don't know. I don't know how they can do it, because to me, Resident Evil's always been a very curated experience. Like, every single one of them curates you in a way, even if it gives you the illusion that you have a lot more choice. Ultimately, you don't really have as much as you think you do. But this take on it, I'm not 100% sold, to be honest with you. I don't know.
It depends on what they're going to, like, how they're going to make it open world, you know?
That's
like,
true.
If they go... like all in on the Metroidvania style, like Metroid Prime type, you know? Like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I can think that. But, I mean, what if it's like, you know, essentially Raccoon City being run over and you are just running through Raccoon City with this shit, just zombies and shit everywhere? Like,
everywhere?
Everywhere. I mean, like, you know, like how the opening of RE3 was, right? Give me the open world version of that and I might actually be down.
I just hope they don't mess it up.
Yeah, me too. I know, me too.
For both of these, like, you know, Capcom's been hitting fucking sales after sales figure. Like, they're making big money right now, so I hope they don't fuck it up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. We're pulling for you, Capcom. Despite the Dragon's Dogma 2 controversy, you still got pretty good reviews, so... as far as we know, you guys are still batting 100. It's just 100 with some asterisks. please, no more asterisks. I think Resident Evil deserves all the love and care. So, all right. Well, that's good. We know our take on this. Still good news. All right, at least we know 9's coming, and it's going to be different. It's going to be bold. But how do we feel about IGN? Was this different and bold? We're going to do ourselves a get it right. Did they get it right? I don't know. This came off the hot the heels of Mario Day, but IGN gave us a top 10, what do you call, Mario games.
Wait, before you read it, you know what I just saw? That it was a paid partnership with Wendy's
for some reason. I was about to mention that shit too, dude. I was about to mention it. For some reason, Wendy's is on board with this shit, but you know what? Fine. Thanks for this weird sponsorship. Wow, and they messed up the graphics on Mario 3D World. That's hilarious.
Oof. Just name them off, Wayne. Go ahead.
Okay,
go
right. I'm going to run down the list. Let me see. We'll talk about did they actually get this right. Number 10, Super Mario Sunshine. Number 9, Super Mario Brothers, the OG. All right. Number 8, Super Mario World. Number 7, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Oh, wait. Number 8, Super Mario 3D World. My bad. That's the one with the cats. Number 7, Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Number 6, Super Mario Galaxy 2. Number 5, Super Mario Galaxy. Number 4, Super Mario 64. Number 3, Super Mario Bros. 3. Number 2, Super Mario Odyssey. And number 1, Super Mario World. All right. Well, let's see. Let me get my list of Mario games here so I can see if they missed, they fucked anything up. Yeah, let's see.
Where's the fucking 3D? I mean, the 2DS one. I mean, the OG DS one. Like, fucking.
New Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, New Super Mario Brothers should have been on there. I would have taken that over fucking Super Mario Sunshine. But
that's exactly what I was going to say. You know what? Having replayed Sunshine again with the Mario Brothers collection, whatever that anniversary shit was, really doesn't hold up. It just does not hold up compared to the other ones. I'm sorry. Like, it's kind of a bullshitty game. To be fair though, I feel like the original Super Mario Brothers also doesn't hold up that well. Like, it's not
the OG one.
Yeah, the one from on the NES. Like, it's fine. I think games have really surpassed it though.
To me, that's I would have put that in the top five. I would have put
got Legacy.
Actually, no, that's a little. Yeah, that's rough. I take that back.
Yeah, there's too many good games.
Yeah, so what I would say, the top five here, I would have picked Super Mario Galaxy 2 over the OG Super Mario Galaxy.
Really?
I think Super Mario Galaxy 2 did everything the first one did, but did it a lot better.
Oh.
Added in Yoshi, like it added in a lot more worlds and all that. Okay. Don't get me wrong, the first Galaxy was amazing, but like to me, Galaxy 2 is like, if you can only play one, would you play the first one, or would you play the second one?
I'm torn. I don't know, because to me, they're both so good, it's really hard to pick one for me. Because one has this, like, the Rosalina story is fucking awesome, the overworld is really fucking cool, it's the first of its kind, so it felt really nifty, but you're right, two, level design is something else. Like, two, yeah. Just, I don't know, those levels are just good. Like, there's not a stinker in the bunch.
How are you feeling about that top three, though? Oof, that to me, I think they got that right, to be honest.
You know what? I would actually take Super Mario Brothers 3 and replace it with Mario 64.
Oh!
In fact, I would actually make Mario 64 number 2, now that I think about it. I'd push Odyssey to number 3.
But wow! Okay.
To me, like, not only does the game still hold up, like, it's one of the tightest controlling of 3D Mario. Like, Mario in Mario 64 controls amazing, with the right controller, obviously. But also, like, I know I went back on the OG one because it's one of the most important 2D games of all time, but, like, really, as a kid, going from 2D Mario to 3D Mario is one of the most profound, like, experiences ever. So,
yeah.
Hard to say. Really hard to say.
So the top five has three 3D Marios and two 2D Marios. So, to me, those are the two top 2D Marios.
They are. No, I agree. I'm 100% right? with you. But Super I would put Mario. Wonder right behind three.
Oh,
Wonder's a good game.
I haven't got too deep into it, but, you know, from what I've seen, it's very trippy. I get it. I see the potential here, but just off of what I've played, I feel like Odyssey is like, man, Odyssey might be, to me, it might edge out 64 just because of what it did to the franchise. Yeah. Like, you know, I still remember Odyssey just from, you know, playing it just
I even get the urge to play it sometimes. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, Odyssey's a great game, actually. It's the thing. Damn. When you put this list together, I'm like, they're all fucking bangers, to be honest with you. Like, even, I know I just talk shit on Super Mario Sunshine, but, like, you know, it's the shittiest of, like, these brilliant fucking games. Ah, you know what, though? I would also take, I would put Super Mario 3D Land before I would put Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the 3DS one.
The 3DS right. one was right. good. That All was right. a good game.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. Bowser's Fury's good. It's not on there either, but I might count that with Mario 3D World. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, to me, this game is, like, this list is better than their fucking Star Wars list.
No, it's a million times better than their Star Wars list. Absolutely. I understand every entry and why they put it. Like, I can I can get this order and be like, you know, I get you, sir. Like, I can get you. Yeah, I understand it completely. It seems kind of safe, almost, to be honest with you. At this point, it's all about our biases.
Yeah, we need a tiebreaker here. We might have to revisit this with James here soon. But yeah, to me, this list is like, the only thing I see wrong with it is that the OG Galaxy is ahead of number two and
Sunshine. I think you can replace another game with Sunshine, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the top five to me is pretty. Oh man, it's like you can shuffle them. But those are the top five Mario games, I feel like. You know, like, you can shuffle them in any order you want. Well, besides Galaxy. Galaxy should be replaced with Galaxy 2. But, yeah.
No, you're not wrong. I think you're... did they get it right? You know what they got right was the very last frame here, the Wendy's $1 Dave single app exclusive offer that you can get from IGN that is now expired, but still seems like a pretty good deal. No, I honestly, this is they mostly got it right, I would say. I would say they mostly got it right. Like, we're nitpicking here with the omissions and the weird stuff at the end. Like, Mario Wonder is a top 10 Mario game for sure. Mario 3D World is, if you play it again, brilliant. Yeah, Super Mario Bros. The OG, one of the most important games of all time. Why not be on the list? Fuck.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that needs to be on the list.
No, you're right. I'm,
I mean, I feel like it's good at number 9 because without that game, you don't have all the other 9, you know, the other ones. Like, that can be at 9 or 10. I get it. But
no, I'm with you.
Yeah, the only one that I feel is the outlier here is Sunshine. Like, don't get me wrong. That was the follow-up to 64, right? 64,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not a bad game. It's just it's kind of not good. Like, not great. It's not it's not brilliant, I would say. And all of these other games are brilliant in their own way, definitely within their time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just give IGN props for getting it better than the Star Wars list that they did. I don't know if it was IGN or if it was fucking Wendy's, but someone over there knows their games. So
I don't know, dude. The other ones weren't sponsored by Wendy's, and they got them pretty wrong. Yeah.
That is true. That Star Wars one was not sponsored by Wendy's. So
yeah, you know, I think Dave got it right for sure. Yeah, good old Dave.
$1.
Mm-hmm.
$1 single Daves.
That's right, dude. IGN, you didn't fuck this one up as much as we thought you would. So we're going to go ahead and say you mostly got it right. Hey.
Yes. Yes.
Way to win it, guys. You got one finally. Anyways, so with that, we're going to conclude with what we be playing. I am feeling really nostalgic. So I was feeling Soulsy. And then I saw this deal on the eShop for this game called Hellpoint. And I played it, and it was pretty good, but I was like, it's not as good as I want it to be. So I don't know. It's a sci-fi take on Souls, and the only one that really did that right for me was, ever played the Surge games?
I haven't played them, but I know that you've always told me about them.
Bro, those are good games. Those are very good games. But there's no Surge on the Switch. So I went ahead and re-downloaded Dark Souls 1, and I downloaded Dark Souls 3 on my Xbox Series S. Whew. And Dark Souls 3 has the FPS update. Yep. Oh my god, it plays so good. I think Dark Souls 3 might be not just my favorite Souls game, but top 5 all-time games. Like, hands down, that is a brilliant piece of software right there. Yep. I am glad that on that one birthday in like 2017, I used that GameStop coupon to just get it for the Xbox One. Got pissed off for a whole day, and the next day I was like, I'm gonna do it. And beat the fuck out of that game. That is a good game. I'm having the blast with it. And then when I want to dick around and play portable, I'm playing Dark Souls 1, which is even better this time for some reason. It's I don't know what it is. Like, it's really hitting right now. So I'm all souls out right now, baby. I am pure souls. Sorry, Hellpoint. Maybe I'll get to you eventually. You were good $6 buy, I guess. I'll just not get a copy next week. So it's going to sit in the backlog. But Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 3, yeah, I'm going to be playing these for a while. These are good fucking games. So
do you ever tap the number 2? I hear very mixed things about it.
Yeah, I like 2 also. 2, I think the issue is the health system's pretty unforgiving. Like, you lose health very easily. The when you hit something, they don't have the same level of reactiveness as 1 and 2. Like, they kind of keep doing their move. So it feels more bullshitty. 2 feels a little more bullshitty. And the bosses aren't as creative. Sometimes they just give you more, like, high-power enemies. And you're like, oh, fine. Okay, well, there's, like, 3 of you now. Cool. Wow. Such challenge. Yeah, I think 1 and 3 are much more curated experiences than 2 is. So, but 2's not bad. 2's like Super Mario Sunshine, okay? Like, it's just like, it's exactly like Super Mario Sunshine for the Souls series. You know, it's worth it sometimes, but ultimately you're not going to go back to it as much.
Jeez.
Yeah. You never played 2? Makes sense.
I never played 2. I only played 1, 3, Bloodborne, Elden Ring, Sekiro.
Oh, I didn't play Demon Sekiro. Souls. 4 Demon Souls, so I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only halfway Souls in, you know? I'm a fucking poser. A you goddamn only got flunky,
half,
dude.
You only got half of your soul sucked so far.
Dude. Only got half. Oh.
Oh, right. That's a good one. All right, what you got? Speaking of soul sucking over here, I'm still playing the Stick of Truth on the Steam Deck. If you do not have a Steam Deck, I highly recommend it on the Switch. The whole portable nature of it just fits, man. Like, it's so good. Just the fact that you can just pick it up, play it for, you know, an hour, half an hour. And it's just, dude, oh, man. Like, the Stick of Truth gameplay is just, yeah.
It's that Paper Mario style gameplay, right?
Yeah. I love that it has that, like, interactivity where you just don't push a button, you know, like you can defend, you can do more damage if you're paying attention. So yeah, I'm playing that on my Steam Deck still. For some reason though, Ubisoft games just run like freaking shit on PCs and Steam Decks, because
I've heard.
Yeah, Ubisoft, right? So but besides that, my big games that I'm playing right now are Final Fantasy 16 and 7 Rebirth. So I don't know what called me back to 16, but it was like, I just played it, and it's one of those games that, like, you know, when it came out, I believe last year, in the beginning of last year, I always wanted to get it, but I just waited, because I'm like, you know what, I know this shit's going to go down in price. Black Friday, and then sure enough, Black Friday, I was able to get, 16 Armored Core 7, 6, Armored Core Fires of Rubicon, and Assassin's Creed Mirage, all for like $90, dude. Because it's like,
that's, you know, a steal right there, dude. Fuck
yeah! So I was like, let me just add on the backlog. I fucked around with Armored Core for a while. I like it. It's just the fact that I got to a boss that beat the shit out of me. So I'm like, you know what? I need to take a break. And then I started playing 16, and 16 is very Game of Thrones fucking story. Like,
really,
I liked it when. You know, that's what interested me about it, is the story had a very, it's not all fucking, you know, there's a random fucking, you know, that fantasy cliche of like, oh, I'm going to go save the world, guys. Like, yes. No, the guy is fucking, he's tormented. He, like, you know, has to deal with his brother, his family, like very Game of Thrones like. And that's what sucked me into it, and I can honestly say that, like, I don't know why I stopped playing it, but once I started playing it again, I'm like, why did I stop playing this game? Because, like, the story just, like, gets going,
and okay.
The combat is very, it's not, like, fucking turn-based, it's not, like, 7, it's very Devil May Cry-ish, if, you know, that's the closest thing I can relate it to.
Okay.
And that's unique, and, yeah, it's very unique in a Final Fantasy game, and... Yes, it's not full-edged RPG, which I believe that was a lot of criticism from people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're fucking 16 main entries into a series, it's like, you have to mix it up. So,
yeah.
I'm liking it. I'm liking the gameplay. And then 7 Rebirth is like my game that's going to... It's like how you treat Tears of the Kingdom is how I'm going to treat Seven Rebirth. Where it's like, I'm never like... It's going to take me 5 years to beat this game, but I'm going to enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. It's that time of the month. I'm going to get a couple little dungeons or something in Tears of the Kingdom, or I'm just going to walk to the mountain. We'll see how I feel.
Yep. So I like how they did the open worldness. They heard everyone's bitching about the whole, like, oh, we're fucking, you know, were dragging out, we're doing fillers, but they were like, oh, you guys want fillers? Well, here's a whole fucking area then, like, kind of thing. So I barely got through the main area, or the, I'm sorry, the beginning area, and I believe I'm like 14 hours in.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And I heard there's like four more areas like that, so do the math, you know?
That's going to be some time. Holy shit. And again, as an adult with children and a yab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just enjoying it. Like, I don't know. I mean, I have my just rotation of like, you know what? This is going to be my single player game for the week.
Yes.
Or you know what? This is going to be my portable game for the week.
That's how I'm at too right now. Exactly. No, I like my portable game and then the game where I actually want to sit down, maybe put on a podcast or something, just play the fucking game. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Exactly. We should just change our shit to Asian gamers. This is how old motherfuckers play games. That's how we do it. Ugh. All right. Well, fuck. That's wow. No James here. He no fucking indie game for him to throw out. He would have had some shit to say about all this stuff, actually. You're fucking guy missed out. All right. Take us out the fucking absurd headline, because I know shit about Helldivers 2.
Well, it's funny that this absurd. The reason that this is absurd is because just the internet, man. I just can't deal with people sometimes, because a lot of people are saying that the Helldivers 2 developers need to turn off friendly fire, they need to add PvP, they need to do this, they need to do that. These developers are doing something that no one has like really done before.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to like, it's all free. Like these updates they've done, they just don't release an update.
Yeah.
For example, one of the biggest updates that came out was they dropped mechs into the game. You know, they did this update by saying, you know what, you guys have, there's something called a major order where it's like, think of it as like a weekly quest type of thing where it tells the community to go do something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, if you guys liberate this really, really hard planet, you guys are going to get mechs. And they put it into the lore. They said, you know, Helldivers Super Earth is going to enter mass production of these combat mechs, but we need the world liberated and blah, blah, blah. And fucking, they were expecting people to liberate it within like the full week, and they liberated it within like 2 days.
Yeah.
Because people wanted those mechs. So these devs are like really, really refreshing things here. And the fact that there's people bitching that they want them to turn off friendly fire, it's like, that's what makes Helldivers Helldivers.
Yeah, the chaos. So,
yeah. Exactly. It's like, what? And the funny thing is I didn't put it in here, but the dev's reaction to this request is, he was like, why would we do that? It's friendly fire is funny as hell. And you know, and people are like, well, yeah, you know, all the real fans that played Helldivers 1, they know
mm-hmm.
that this is what made the game, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that people, you know, you have the fucking streamers and the fucking, now that people, it's becoming more mainstream.
The casuals. Like, hey, mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're like, we need this turned off and blah, blah, blah. And the dev was like, nah, fuck you. We're leaving it on.
No. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. So that's why it's absurd. Helldivers is not Helldivers without friendly fire. So the fact that they're not turning it off is awesome. These devs are just, like I said, they're just doing things their way, and that's awesome.
Yeah, so, more devs like this. That's why I got to reward these motherfuckers, honestly. Them and the Baldur's Gate people, you know, all those guys. Capcom, maybe fix your engine, please.
They're not doing the whole Infinity War type of like, oh, yeah, we're going to cater to these casuals. It's like, nah, fuck you. You don't want to play our game? Go play something else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And with that, go fuck you and go play something else. It should be our slogan as well. But that was our latest episode of the NPC Gaming Pod. Happy 1 year to us. Yay, we fucking did it. Oh, my gosh. This has been a production of the Horrible People's Network. And of course, my name is Anthony. You can catch me on the Horrible People's Podcast. I just did my birthday month. It was a lot of fun episodes. And now we're doing a sequel-based month for April. So that's going to be fun. You can find me again there at HORRORBLE People's Podcast. Then I'm here every week too, or every 2 weeks. So, you know, a lot of fun stuff. If you want more snide gaming commentary, we are here. And of course, Cordova, where do they find your shit?
I am still trying to get a backlog of videos from my gaming Instagram at Big Bang Cordova, all one word.
Mm.
But yeah, I have a couple Fortnite clips. I'm trying to work on this fucking, like, I have at least 10 clips of like Helldivers 2 deaths that I'm trying to like supercut.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, into like a 2-minute long video. So it's just the fact that I just need to sit down. I mean, I've been, kids are on spring break. I was up in the mountains this past week. And
I know, fucking A.
Yeah, yeah. So
we old.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to use that Instagram more and more, get it going, and you know, there's just clips and shit. So if you guys are interested in gaming, you know, go check it out. Big Ben Cordova, all one word on Instagram.
Make some requests for him to run through a couple clips for Super Mario Sunshine. All right. And with that, peace out, everyone. See you in 2 weeks.
Later.
All right.